Right, if I haven't met you yet, my name is Vic, and I'm one of the leaders here, one of the pastors here at City Gates, and we are in the middle of a series, so if you're a guest with us, you are so welcome. The series is called We Are. You've heard a lot of We Are's here before we started worship, and even Edwina alluded to that, which is just a series going through our eight core values, and so over the last couple of weeks, we've been handing out these booklets, which really explain each of our core values in detail. Where do they come from? And so if you haven't got one of these yet, I've got two left. All right, so if you're a guest here, you're welcome to grab one if you'd like to be a part of this. Otherwise, you feel free to just look over a City Gator's shoulder. But of course, everything will be up on the screen as well, so you won't get lost. But if you need still one of these, we take these with us to our community groups. And so make sure you pick one of these up. This is kind of your homework. Everything that you need to know is in there. You can scribble in this, doodle, whatever you need to do to remember what's in there. And then last week we looked at the value of family. We are family. And we handed out during the service our One Another Charter, okay? And so if you don't have a One Another Charter, which is really just the biblical commands to New Testament believers, you and me, who consider ourselves Christ followers, how we should treat one another. And if we obey these commands, we'll be a healthy family. I said that our family should have an open front door, which is today's value. We're on mission. We want other people to join our family, but we want to have a closed back door. We don't want to lose anybody. And we close our back door. We keep it closed and keep it locked when we live out our One Another Charter, you know, which really all is grounded in the love one another command, which is in here as well. So if you didn't get a One Another Charter, I also have four of them left over here. Feel free to grab one, but you can also download it online on that particular week's, that sermon. So that's the We Are document. That's the One Another Charter. Let me quickly recap, and then we'll jump into our fifth value, which is called mission today. And so you can follow along with me up on the screen. You saw there our manifesto, one manifesto. I love that. Amen me all the way through. It's great to have the kids. Some of the adults, you can get a little louder as well. Okay, lean into the sermon. Okay, one manifesto, which is? Brilliant stuff. There are four statements connected to this one manifesto. We'll look at them right now. And then there's, of course, eight values embedded in those four statements. So the first one that's connected to the word helping in our manifesto is we are Holy Spirit empowered servants like Jesus. Holy Spirit is a value and serving is another value, number one and two. Then connected to people is this statement, we are the hospitable family of Jesus. Jesus. So hospitality is a value and family is a value. Undefined is we are strategic missionaries for Jesus. We'll look at mission number five today, and next week we'll look at strategy. And then lastly, connected to follow, is we are disciples devoted to Jesus. Discipleship is a value and devotion is a value, and we'll look at that in the weeks to come. All right, so today we are looking at mission. We are strategic missionaries for Jesus. Let me pray, and then we'll jump straight into this. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you sent us the Holy Spirit to turn us into your image and likeness. We know, God, when you created mankind, you made them in your image and likeness. And then when sin entered into this world because of our rebellion, we wanted to be autonomous, disconnected from you. We lost our likeness to you. We behaved in ways unlike God. And I thank you for the gospel that came to redeem us and rescue us from that problem. And so we can once again, through the work of the Holy Spirit that you pour out upon your sons and daughters, upon all flesh, everyone who confesses Jesus as Lord, receives the Spirit, and now we become like you once more. And when we go through our values, Lord, we know this is the work of the Holy Spirit, that you are transforming us into people who look like you once again. And so help me as I speak today that I would say what the Holy Spirit wants me to say, and help us as we listen that we would respond to you in obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this comes from that Matthew 28, bottom right there, the great commandment and the great commission. This is from the great commission where Jesus himself says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. And in Acts 1:8, we'll see that next week. He says, do it in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. We're in Canada here, so we are part of that mandate. You know, the gospel has reached us, reached our shores. But in your We Are booklet, the opening description starts off with this quote: the church doesn't have a mission, the mission has a church. And that's really where we get our helping people find and follow Jesus from, as we realize that the Great Commission is God's idea, and he has a church to fulfill that. We don't, as a church, think, ooh, what do we want to do? And we come up with some fancy thing we want to do in our community. No, no, no. The church doesn't have a mission. The mission, God wants to cover the earth with his glory, and he wants to use you and me. So we are the church that fulfill the mission. The mission has a church. And so let's read together just what we believe it means to be strategic missionaries for Jesus. And I'd love for you to follow along with me. It's up on the screen. So here we go. 1, 2, 3. We are not merely churchgoers, but want to be known as a going church. Some may go to the nations, but everyone can go to their neighbors. Therefore, we are all missionaries, no longer of this world, but sent into it as ambassadors for Christ. You did a great job there. So we're going to just look at a few things that is found there in that summary statement. And of course, we're grounded in scripture and in theology. And so the first one we see there is that we are not churchgoers, but a going church. Or the question I want to ask you, do you go to church, or are we a church to go? All right? That's the big question. This is what you are confronted with when you say, ah, this is my church. And if this is my church, that is one of our values. Am I a believer that just goes to church? Or am I a believer, part of the church that goes? It's a big difference there. You know, I think of Jesus' words to his disciples. You know, he told them to tell others to come to him. He says, come to me, you who are, you know, weary and heavy laden, heavy burdened. Come to me. Nowhere did Jesus ever say, come to church. And sometimes we think that's what it means to be a Christian, is we just go to church. Jesus never said, come to church. He said, come to me. But what is interesting is he told the church, go to the world. That's what he said. He didn't say, go to church. He said, go to the world. Church, go to the world. Not the world, go to church. And so we believe that we are a going church, not a bunch of churchgoers. Friends, that means that Monday to Saturday is where you get busy. If you think the sum total of your Christianity equals the 2 hours we hang out together here on a Sunday morning, or maybe the 1.5 hours over a meal midweek, if you think that's what it means to be a Christian, maybe you are not following Jesus. I would say do a bit of stock take, because that is not what Jesus meant when he said, go and make disciples of all nations. Second up, nations and neighbors. We're a going church, but we go to both the nations and to our neighbors. I'm going to major on our neighbors today, but I do want to talk a little bit about going to the nations. I mean, I am here today from the nation of South Africa. 5 years ago, we arrived here in Canada. God sent us to another nation. So it's a big part of what it means to be a Christian. You don't just go to your neighbors, you also go to your neighbors, you also go to the nations. And I found in my little bit of experience as a Christ follower, where I've had the opportunities to leave my home, leave my town, my city, and go to another city or another nation to do something in the name of Jesus, I found that I'm a better missionary to my neighbors as a result of having gone to the nations. There's something amazing that happens when you leave the comfort of your home and your neighborhood and you go somewhere where you're a little uncomfortable. You go somewhere where they don't speak your language. They don't eat your food. They don't have your worldview. They don't own the things you own. They don't value the things you value. And all of a sudden, you realize, I've been living in this little castle, this little bubble, and thinking the whole universe is wrapped up in the things that I do and say and eat and where I play and where I sleep. And it just makes you see this glorious creation of God, the diversity in creation, in people. And you find yourself appreciating what you have back at home more. You find yourself in those contexts, you know, ministering into other contexts. And I'm not just talking about going into poorer contexts. I love going to Europe. That is like post-Christian in many ways. Because I see things over there as well, where people with far more than what we have. And I see how it does not make them happy. And you see how they, you know, the gospel is still good news in that context. Not just to those who have little, but even to those who have much. And so whenever you find yourself traveling to the nations, you find yourself to be a better missionary to your neighbors. You see the world differently. You appreciate what you have in better and different ways. We end up gaining more than the people we end up serving. I often hear people talk about that. When they go to the nations, when you go on a short-term mission trip, is probably the language that you guys would be familiar with. They come back saying, I went to give, but I received so much more. I received so much more. And so when we also, when we just stuck in one camp, just the neighbor's camp, or we just stuck in the nation's camp, we miss the big picture of God. And so how do we as a church go to the nations? Well, firstly, we are part of a global network called Advance Movement. That is all about planting and strengthening churches in the all across the world around the gospel. And I mean, we are in the process of planting churches into Turkey, and we have planted churches across North America, Southern Africa, actually even Northern Africa. We are working in the Australasia areas as well, and God's doing amazing things. And so the opportunities for a young movement, maybe 7-8 years, to go and support church plants or go and visit church plants. I remember we went to Wales 2 years ago. We went to Tony Pandy, the small little town, like a old coal mining town. The mines have closed down, lots of poverty and brokenness there, and Brian and his wife was able to join my wife and I as we did ministry over there. More of those opportunities will become available to you as a church, as our movement grows, as our footprint across the globe increases. So that's one of the ways that we go. And we love to plant churches because we have this philosophy, it's better to build than to bless. Okay? You hear me out. It's better to build than to bless. Blessing is often you go in, you do something, you pull out, and you may never see them again. It was nice. It left a good impact there. It blessed them, a lovely taste in their mouth, maybe some money in their pocket or some gifts in their hands. Blessing is not bad, but I would say building is better. And so as a church, we have asked the question, where can we build instead of bless? And you may have noticed for the last 2 years, we've not done our shoebox, Christmas shoebox thing. I love what Samaritan's Purse does. Some of you guys over here are still involved in packing shoeboxes that get sent across the world to developing nations, poverty-stricken areas, and blessing those kids with a Christmas gift, something that you purchased over here that you shipped across to them. I love what they're doing, but as we've wrestled with this value of ours to build instead of bless, we felt like, isn't there a better way where we can bless children in poverty, build with children in poverty instead of bless them? And so we've dialed down on the Samaritan's Purse, you know, Santa's shoebox. I'm not too sure what the exact name is. And we have introduced Compassion Canada to our church. And I was so proud. It actually, the day that Compassion visited us and we had the opportunity to sign up to sponsor children in Mexico in particular, I got an email from Compassion saying this was phenomenal. They did not anticipate our response. So you guys leaned in. It's excellent. And so we have many children in a particular area in Mexico that we as a church have kind of adopted financially. We've said we want to sponsor and invest into their lives, build into their lives instead of a blessing that's maybe nameless or faceless or a once-off event. I'm going to talk a little bit, or not myself, you'll watch a video, and I'll let you know about something we're going to be doing with Compassion Canada moving forward. But before I do that, that will be 2020, by the way. 2021, I've got this little thing around my arm. It's called Live Village. It's a Live Village band. In May this year, I was able to go back to South Africa. I'm so grateful for that time I could spend back at my other home. And we started working with an organization, getting to know them, called Live Village, which is like an orphan village. There's an orphan crisis in Africa, but in South Africa in particular. And they provide forever homes for orphaned children that get lost in the system. And the founders have actually come through to Canada. They've done a bit of a presentation at the Waypoint. Some of you were there. And so we decided that we will go and visit them and see what they're doing. And we did some video report back with you guys. I don't know if you remember that while we were away. And I'm so excited, because we are planning to go to South Africa to go visit and serve, and as a church partner more, more regularly with them. We want to build, not just bless, with Live Village. So that's coming in 2021. All right. So that's like a South Africa trip. It's a little more expensive to fly, to another continent. And so if you think that that's something you'd love to do, 2021 will be the year that we will go to South Africa to visit Live Village. At least that's the plan for now, all right? So I'm putting it out there, and I know God's listening, and you're listening, and so we trust it's going to happen. But I want to talk a little bit about compassion. Well, not myself, I'm going to ask Nadine to do that. But before we do that, can we just flight a video? So eyes on the screen, it's a 2-minute video there. Have a look.
I've always loved to travel. I love the idea of experiencing another culture. The colors, the smells. Trying new foods, hearing new ideas. Meeting people who live differently than I do. But this kind of trip is different from anything I've done before. Travel with a group of people who share the same heart for children living in poverty is unique. At first, you're not sure what it will be like, but that passion binds you together. I've heard stories of how children are impacted through Compassion's ministry, but to see it firsthand, to talk to a child, or meet his family, or hear from the tutors who work with him one-on-one, it makes everything real. You learn a lot on a trip like this, not only about the ministry of compassion, but about yourself. I learned that I'm braver than I thought I was, that connecting with people feeds my soul. And I learned that my sponsorship means more than I ever thought it could.
Morning, everybody. So that was just a video regarding compassion trips. So what we want to do as a family for City Gates is to put a group of people together and to visit the village that we do sponsor a number of children from. Just a heads up, you don't have to be a sponsor to come on this trip. This trip is open to anybody within our community. They also encourage families as well to join. When we want to do this is a little bit up in the air, but we're looking for either May, June, or August of 2020, so next year. And it would be a 3 to 4 day extended weekend kind of a trip. The cost right now is about $1,000. However, there are things that we can do to reduce those costs in terms of, flight points and just setting funds aside. But what we ask right now for everybody is to plan, to number one, pray about it, to see if just how the Spirit is stirring in your own heart as well. Little things like, applying for a passport, just being ready and prepared for what and where God may send us, whether it be Live or whether it be Compassion or whether it be any other trips that are available, I think, to be open to what the Holy Spirit is leading. A quote that I had come across that really impacted me was, a dream written down with a date becomes a goal. A goal broken down into steps becomes a plan. A plan backed by action makes your dreams come true. Or a plan backed by action becomes reality. So If we plan to be a going church, we need to plan step by step. And it just means, one step at a time. And it's once we put those things into action, we'll get there, right?
Thank you so much, Nadine. So Nadine's going to help us with some of the logistics. So the things that she mentioned here, you can actually pick up one of these leaflets. They're next to each of the offering baskets. And the what, the why, the when, the who, the cost, and a bit of the plan is outlined there for you. We need to know, because we have to go back to Compassion and give them an estimate of how many people are going to come out. And so by December the 1st, so you've got 2 weeks, pray about it, grab one of these, and you can go to citygates.ca/compassion2020. The link is up on this, so grab one of these, one per family. I think we've got enough here today. And then you can start, getting your ducks in a row. But we need to know so that they can plan their ground team. So the cost will include everything, a staff member, a translator, the trips into the village. We'll probably see most of the kids that you are already sponsoring, all right? And you could send someone, they call it a surrogate sponsor. You can send someone on your behalf. You say, I can't go, but I'm sponsoring someone, please, will you not go on my behalf? And so that is totally allowed as well. I'm pretty excited about this. So grab one of these on your way out. Don't forget, if this is something that, your heart leapt and you go, ooh, that sounds exciting. It's Mexico, by the way. That's where we're going to be heading to. So very excited about that. Thanks so much, Nadine. Chat to her as well. She's got a bit more information than I have at this stage. So just a few, two things to kind of throw caution to the wind. Let's be careful as we talk about nations and neighbors. Let's be careful not to make giving, maybe you're giving every week, every month to the sponsorship or some other kind of giving. We don't want giving to a cause to kind of help us to get out of a personal call to go to the nations or to the neighbors. Often we think we just throw money at the problem. It's kind of a North American thing. We've got the cash. Just throw the cash and don't bother me. Remember, God wants us to be a little more involved than that. God has gifted people to be generous, and they do so, and we need the finances. The finances is like the mission ammunition that we need to advance God's kingdom. But don't use giving as a cop-out to go. Okay, that's the first one. The second one, just in case I wasn't clear, in case you missed it, mission does not equal missionaries to the nations. And again, this is maybe a bit of a North American perspective, that many missionaries have been sent from here. And sometimes we think, no, that's something someone else does, okay? Nations only, that's only for missionaries, not for me. What we've said is that we are all missionaries, all right? So that brings me to this next point. We are all missionaries. Some go to the nations. We're not going to send the whole church to Mexico, and not everybody can go to South Africa. But everyone can go to their neighbor. Everyone can go to their neighbor. In fact, what's so amazing about Canada is that it's now a nation of nations. It has been for a while. And so the amazing thing is that you don't even have to leave your neighborhood to go to the nations. God's making it pretty easy for us here in Canada. You might have a heart for the nations. You have reason to stay because the nations are coming into Canada. It's very, very exciting. We are all sent. There's no such thing as other people are missionaries. Not me. No. So how are we? How do we do this? Next week, we're going to look at the strategy. So I'm not going to spend much time on this, but I'm just going to read two quick scriptures, kind of two tips that you can think about this and set yourself up for next week as we talk about our strategy to reach our neighbors. John 1, verse 41 to 42. It's up on the screen. He, this is Andrew, first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. We found Jesus. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. You're Peter. All right. So that's Andrew finding his brother, Stephen, and then telling him about Jesus. John 1, verse 45, just a few verses later, 2:46, says this, "Philip," okay, another disciple, "found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.' Nathanael said to him, 'Can anything good come out of Nazareth?' Philip said to him, 'Come and see. Come and see.'" And so there are two options there that you could be on mission, or the method to be on mission to your neighbors. And the first one is the go and tell. That's Andrew going to tell Simon, Peter, "We have found him." Some of us are that kind of front-footed people. We go and we tell. Like, and that's the kind of church we want to be. It's often called the missional church, all right? On mission, we go and tell. Others might say, like Philip in the second verse we read, and he says to Nathanael, come and see. You got to come. Andrew goes to Simon, but Philip says, come and see to Nathanael. And that is often called attractional church. Missional church, just always out there doing their thing. The missional church guys, they don't have to fuss about church buildings and those kinds of things. They're like, we got to be out there doing our thing. And then the attractional church is like, set everything up here on a Sunday. Looks, experience is amazing. You know, the coffee tastes phenomenal. The decor is amazing. By the way, the stuff that's hidden behind me, this is not attractional church, okay? All right. We have no control over the set, all right? They forgot to put the pipe and drape up, so we try to hide it with screens, okay? So this, for example, wouldn't fall into an attractional church model, okay? This is like, you know, a deterrent church in many ways. It's better than the hangman's noose we had once up here, I believe, hey? Yes. So the question is, which one is it? Should we be attractional or should we be missional? Should we go and tell? Should we say, come and see? And I've just showed you two scriptures with both in there. And as a church, we want to be wise. We want to make our Sundays comfortable. We want, when somebody says, oh, come and see, we want them to experience a great time with us. Friendly, family people, the great visitors packs, you know, look them in the eye. Our breath smells good. The coffee tastes fine. That's the kind of, it's okay, but it's both, not one or the other. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we see that. In the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, God wanted them to be a light to the other nations. He said, I want you to live a certain way so that they see you, all right? They see that you're different. But he also said to Abraham, listen, I'm going to make your family bless all the families, all the nations of the world. And so out of Abraham came Israel, all right? That was this attractional nation. But then he also told the nation, you need to get out there and bring the other nations in. And that's the New Testament. That's what Jesus inaugurated. So it's not one or the other, friends. It's both. That's what we do. Let me quickly speak to guys or girls here that maybe you're exploring Christianity, checking us out from a distance. You find yourself here today and you think, oh, these Christians, you know, Bible bashing, you know, stand on a soapbox proclaiming. Please just keep your faith to yourself. Maybe you're here and you think you should not try and convert people. This whole message I have an objection with. And I want to say I have two problems with that outlook. And I'll just let you know why. Two quick things to think about. If we do not share the gospel, if we're not missional, go and tell, we would be dishonest. And that's worse. That's hypocritical. Think about this. People try and convert others to good ideas all the time. I love watching documentaries, and so many of the documentaries I watch tries to convince me that eating a certain way or living a certain way, whether it's eco-friendly homes or minimalists, you know, or even diet, you know, like I'm like, man, keto diet, I'm heading for that one right now, you know, but others say, no, you shouldn't. When people discover something that makes a difference in your life, they're quite comfortable, and you're quite comfortable with them proclaiming it, making documentaries about it, you know, telling you should change the way you live, you should change the way you behave, you should exercise like this, you should eat like this, you should buy these things and throw that away. We're quite comfortable with people doing that. And yet we're asked with this good news that we have, that Jesus loves you, that God loves you, that He made a way for you. We should be silent about that. I think it's a little dishonest. I remember a video that Doug actually, I don't know where if he's here right now, but Doug shared with me a video of a magician. His name's Penn Gillette. And he talked about a person giving him a Bible, kind of a evangelist type of guy. He wanted to go and tell Penn about Jesus, and he gave him a Bible and a little video, and he said, I really appreciated it. Because if this person, you could see he was genuine. He knew he found good news, and it would not be good for this person to keep it to himself. He actually says this. He says, how much do you have to hate someone to keep that kind of news from them? And so he actually affirmed this evangelist. As an atheist himself, he's saying, listen, this person believes that I will be saved from an eternity without God. It's not going to be fun. That life is found in God, and living autonomously and rebelliously and kicking God out of your life has eternal consequences. He says, how much do you have to hate someone to keep that news from them? I appreciate this person. And so, friends, you might say, don't share your faith with others. I would say that's actually a little dishonest, because we share good news with people if we think it's worth its salt. And secondly, I think it's illogical. If you say you can't share your belief with other people or say that your faith is better than other people's faith, that in itself is a truth claim. You're guilty of the very thing you're saying we are not allowed to do. Okay, if you say, you can't say that, well, you're saying that at the same time. And so the question isn't whether we should or shouldn't. The question is which truth claim, which good news, which message actually produces the change in human nature that we so desperately want. Which one fixes the problem of our human nature? That is the problem, human nature, not the fact that we are passionate about this news. Religion might cause wars right now. We know there's a lot of fighting happening along those religious lines. But friends, many years ago, atheism was the reason for wars. And so it's not religion or atheism. Both of them actually resulted in the same problems. What was the problem? The problem of the human heart, the problem of the human nature. And we believe the gospel is that answer. Because when you take the gospel into yourself, you realize you're a sinner and God died for you. You can quite comfortably say, that person's better than me. It's not a fight about like, I'm better than you. You believe what I believe. You're wrong. Actually, Christians can in humility say, you know what? I'm far worse than I can imagine. That's why God had to die in my place. That's why I needed a savior. And we're not walking around like self-righteous people exalting ourselves above someone else. In fact, we're quite comfortable saying those who do not follow Jesus could very likely be better people than we are. That's what the gospel does. And so you got to think, you got to chew on that a little bit. So it's dishonest, I believe, and it's illogical because if you say I can't do it, you are doing it yourself. And so let's talk, let's chat. Stick around, we'd love to chat with you about this if you have an issue. I'm almost done, guys. Next one, we're not of this world, therefore, but we're in this world, okay? And there's two kind of ways you can see Christianity. You can bunker down like a bomb shelter, or you can be like a burrito where you put everything on the inside, okay? You get in to the tortilla, right? The tortilla's, you're inside over there. It's the difference between a bomb shelter Christianity and incarnational, right? What do I mean by incarnational? That's what Jesus did. He left heaven. He became human. He became flesh. He came and lived among us. And in Christianity, we often have these two camps. The bunker bomb shelter guys, you know, who kind of just hide away from everyone else. Sing their own songs, you know, use their own language, you know, the subculture, like wear their own clothes and listen to their own music. Actually, that's like separating yourself. But Jesus sends us in to the burrito, right? I want you to be part of the ingredients. So not bunker, but burrito Christianity, all right? I think about myself. I'm a temporary resident here in Canada. By the way, I arrived November 7th. 2014. So it's been 5 years pretty much that we've been here. We are still temporary residents. We are trying to become permanent residents so that we could become citizens. And that's another story. But here's the thing. That's true. Even as a permanent resident, I'm still a South African that's been sent to Canada. I'm not of Canada, but I'm in Canada. And you might think, oh, that's my story, but not yours. But that's true of every believer. If you're a Christ follower, you are not of this world, but you are sent into this burrito. You are sent into this world. We are meant to be incarnational. That's John 17, verse 18, by the way. And that's why I love Young Life so much. We partner with an organization called Young Life, and they always say this, Young Life, the Young Life volunteer leaders are adults who enter into the world of teenagers. I love that. And if you meet a Young Life leader, it's like this weird thing because there's this old person that acts like a teenager, okay? All right, they really take it seriously. Like they don't expect teenagers to come to them. They go into their world where they play games, where they eat their food, where they hang out. I love that because that's Jesus' model, to be a going church, to be incarnational. Not of, but in this world. And then ambassadors, which is the last one. Let's read this together. We are ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 to 20 says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's incredible, friends. Can you hear the urgency? It says God gave us the ministry, entrusted it to us. It's like the reconciled are now to be reconciling, doing the work of an ambassador. He says God is making his appeal through us. That's phenomenal. It's like you are God's megaphone. Through you, God wants to speak. And he says, we implore you, be reconciled to God. Can you hear the sense of urgency? This is not optional, friends. This is serious stuff. The message of reconciliation has been given to us. And I know we've all heard this saying, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. I know, I think it's St. Francis of Assisi or someone. But Matt Smether says this, preach the gospel, if necessary, use words, is like saying, feed the hungry, and if needed, use food. Think about that. Again, we can sometimes cop out. Other people are missionaries. And sometimes we think, you know what? I'm just going to live my life for Jesus, and that's going to be enough. But as we read in Corinthians, no, God wants to make his appeal through you. You have been given the message. The message, it's something you've got to say, something you've got to explain. Next week we'll look at that. 1 Peter talks about be ready to give a reason, give an answer for the hope that you have. And so friends, this is not optional. This is a message. Of course, you live out the gospel, but it should lead to conversations. As people say, why do you do that? Why did you choose that? Why did you react that way? What's going on? You say, step into my office. Let's have a chat. Friends, Jesus said that the problem is not the harvest, the people that we ought to go to. We don't have to actually pray for the harvest. I don't have time. I was going to read John chapter 4 this morning, which is just the context where Jesus shares who he is, the living water, with a Samaritan woman, someone from another nation, okay? Because Jesus says, goes to, you know, preach the gospel into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, okay? And so she was a Samaritan woman, and he shared the gospel with her, and the disciples arrived, and they were upset because he was speaking to a Samaritan woman. And Jesus said something along this lines, that actually what he was doing was his food. And he's really coaching his disciples to say, if you share the gospel, it's food as well. It's not a side salad. It's not something you put on the side. It's not dessert, optional. It's like your meat and potatoes. And in that context, he said to his disciples, the harvest is white. It's ready. And in another context, we can maybe read that together. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. It's on the screen here. All right? He said to them, to his disciples, Jesus, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The laborers are the ones that are not enough. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord. Remember, we're praying together on November 27th at the cafe. Please join us there. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And sometimes we pray for the soil, you know, and that's okay. But Jesus actually said, pray for the laborers. It's you and me sitting here today. If the harvest is ready for reaping, that should give you confidence to step out in faith, to be an ambassador, to share the message, to get out of the bomb shelter and get in to the world that God has sent you to realize that you are a missionary, not someone else. You are. And that your neighbors need Jesus. Maybe your neighbor is part of this harvest that's ready for reaping, but you're the one with a sickle in hand. Are you going to obey? Are you going to listen to him? That's who we're going to pray for. I'm going to end with that. Just praying for laborers and ambassadors. And I want to remind you of my wife's word just before we closed our singing time, where she said, many of you are here and you feel like you want to be used by God and you listen to what I'm saying and you go, man, I wish that was me. And then you have the but, the excuses, but this and but that, but my time, but my life, and but I don't know enough, but I'm not confident, but I'm not an extrovert, but all sorts of excuses. We're going to pray now for you. Jesus said, I want to use you where you are, with what you have. It was Moses' excuse as well. God said to Moses, I'm going to use you to liberate a nation out of slavery. And he said, he literally did that. He was stuttering. And God just said, what do you got in your hand? He's like, I got a staff. He's like, I'm going to use that. That staff was used to separate the waters for the nation of Israel to walk through and be saved into the promised land. And God crushed his enemies under that. That staff, what's in your hand? It's where you live. It's where you work. It's the experiences that you've gone through with Jesus by your side. That's enough. Stop making excuses. We're going to pray that God thrusts you into the harvest field, thrusts us into as ambassadors, as missionaries for him to our neighbors. And some of you will pick up a little piece of paper and find us in Mexico next year, 2020, and maybe in South Africa, 2021. Yeah, we'll do that too, but not at the expense of neighbors, friends. Why don't you close your eyes and bow your heads? You want to be a worker. You want to be a laborer. You want to be a missionary. You say, this is my church, and maybe this value, I got some work to do. I need Jesus. I need the Holy Spirit to help me. If that is you, won't you be brave? Just put your hand up. I'm going to pray for you. If that's you, you say, I want to be a missionary. I want to make a difference. Wonderful. Lord, you see our hearts. You see the hands that have gone up. Those of us who have not put our hands up, Lord, I want to acknowledge that it's not optional. It's not for some. Maybe they've settled this in their hearts, and I'm grateful for that. But God, I want you to come now, Holy Spirit, and give the boldness that you gave to those early disciples. They were hiding in a room after you ascended into heaven. Yeah, they were praying, but they were in a bomb shelter. They were staying away from the society around them until the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And they found themselves in the streets with boldness, proclaiming the gospel. They found themselves persecuted for that. It came with opposition. And I ask for that Holy Spirit power to be present in those that have placed their hands up, and for all of us as a church. Come now, Holy Spirit. Will you fill us with the courage and the conviction, and then eventually the curriculum, the things to say, because you do that through us as well. But firstly, let us settle the fact that we are all called to go. We don't want to be a church that's just known for people coming here. No, we come to Jesus, and Jesus says, go to the world. You send us in. So come now, Holy Spirit. Fill us and send us out. We are the laborers responding to your statement that the harvest is fine, but you need workers. And we say, here we are, send us. Here we are, Lord. My hand is up. Use me. Send me. Let me be salt and light in my neighborhood, where I work, where I live, where I play. Let us be a church that lives out our value of mission. It should not be something we say but not see. We want to see this more and more in our church. Whether people say, come with me, or others go and tell, we want all of the above. Come, Holy Spirit, do it in us, I pray. And then those that have disqualified themselves, speak to them right now, Holy Spirit. Qualify them. Thank you that you qualify those you call. You've called each and every one of us. And it's by grace, it's a gift. Nobody is a Christian here today because of anything that they have done. And you work in our lives continuously in the same way. You give us opportunities to share the gospel. You give us the Holy Spirit that empowers us to share the gospel as a gift of grace. And so the things that we've done that we may feel have disqualified us, we sang that song, it is finished. You paid the price for those mistakes. And you will not hold those mistakes against us to keep us at bay, to keep us stagnant. No, you have taken care of that so that you could send us out. You qualify the ones you've called, and you called us by your grace, and so you send us by your grace as well. Speak to those people that have said, not me, someone else, not me, I can't. Speak to them now. Help them to see how much you love them and what you've done for them to bring them in to your plan. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.